right now we have a fun guest. Can't wait to talk with him, Alan Muscat. And he has a company, Eco Tours, and he's been. I've seen him on television. I've and five best gift experiences. Southern Living called it. Fodor's 10 best food experiences. Alan, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Welcome to Food Talk. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us. I got to ask you, tell us about Eco Tours and what you do.
Yeah, well, I'm based in Asheville, and I take people out to eat outside, and show them what's edible, you know, not just in the woods, but in their yard and everything in between.
So you go to someone's yard and say, okay, let's have dinner. And you mean that.
Yeah. People generally come here. You know, I do have a sort of what's in my yard service, but we're lucky in Asheville. We have a great diversity of things that, people would see back home and some that are unique here, and we make a meal out of it, or we go to a restaurant that does for us.
Well, you have you're the founding director. It's a 21-year-old company. And how did you get started with this? Where did the embryonic stage come from?
Yeah, I wish I knew. You know, I think that I definitely didn't forge consciously before college. And it was really after college that I clearly got a foraging book and started doing it. I grew up in Miami, actually. And there, you know, there's mangoes and avocados and coconuts and things as a child. But in college, I went hiking, and I actually went to woods, per se. And I cooked for the first time, and I studied Taoism, which was all about being natural,
sure,
like Buddhism. And I think all three together made me want to get back to land, do the homesteading thing, but I wasn't settled. So I would, eat wherever I went. And 5 years later, I would land in Asheville and started teaching and also selling to restaurants.
Give me an example of when you first started this. It's, what, 21 years ago or
yeah,
so? When you first started, what were you eating versus your palate, everything becomes a bit more sophisticated versus now. Are they the same or are they different? How is it?
Yeah, I think I may have gotten a little lazy. I probably ate more wild food in some ways then. More probably variety now, but quantity then. I remember I arrived in Asheville pretty penniless, and I would have dandelion three ways for dinner, you know, and so a great volume of what I ate was forage. But again, I learned, and I continue to learn every year, one more variety, so that now I know over, say, 150 things. But I do get, you know, dairy, and something like avocados now that I'm used to from the store. And I try to get meats wild from hunters. But I would say maybe half my diet's wild now and by volume.
So give us an example of when you have people come in, and let me backtrack here. And so this is a business. You have people come to you. You go outside and you work with them? Is this in a group setting? Is this individual? How is it done?
Yeah, well, we call them tours and or walks or outings, and it's typically anywhere, you know, generally about a dozen people, maybe a handful at a time. And the season here is roughly April through October, but you know, I had an outing 2 days ago, and we have one next weekend. So you can find things in the winter, even up here. And we spend 3 hours together typically, and I hand people a basket and a knife. And it's like a Easter egg hunt, really, because once I've shown people a few things, I set them loose and we spread out and we see what we could find. And usually all I expect people to know at that point to recognize are mushrooms.
Yeah.
And so they can pick a mushroom, and it's safe to touch any mushroom. And I tell them we're going to all come back in, you know, 10, 15 minutes. We're going to spread them out and compare them, do a little lesson, and then do it again. And at the end, I'll cook up, you know, a couple edibles. And the rest people can actually bring to a restaurant in Asheville that will prepare an appetizer for free out of it.
Oh, that's neat. People. Now, how you bring up a great subject for me. How do you tell a edible mushroom from a one that you shouldn't eat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a classic question, especially around mushrooms that we're so afraid of. And the answer, you know, rhetorically, is to ask you, how can you tell cabbage from iceberg lettuce?
Well, I look at it for one thing, and then, mm-hmm. but then I'll taste it too. If I'm blindfolded, I'll taste it. But I just need to look at it. So you're telling me that's basically all you have to do with a mushroom is look at it. But what are you looking for in an inedible mushroom?
Yeah, but you know, I don't mean to just put you on the spot, but it isn't just looking at it, but it's something you learn from practice. And I can't give a simple answer of what you're looking for, the same way that cabbage and iceberg lettuce look awfully similar. And if I were to give you things to look for, then it would be engaging like a part of your brain that would be counterproductive. Because there's something called wild carrot, for instance, and it has a deadly lookalike. But the carrot is hairy, and the other one isn't. So you could be as simple as me telling you, well, you want the plant to be hairy. But you might not know what that means. You might forget. You might think you want the plant not to be hairy and remember it backwards.
Sure.
What I'm saying in essence is all it takes is practice, just familiarity. Seeing something over and over again, you recognize it. No more difficult than the stuff that you grew up with. And around the world, people who pick wild mushrooms grow up doing it with their parents, and they don't make mistakes like we do, like you hear about here.
Sure.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. But give me an example. And I come to you, and we have three or four of us, and we go out. What are some of the things that you're going to encourage us to look for dinner that night? And then we're going to take it all the way through the preparation as well as the experience.
Yeah, well, I can answer those 150 or so things by category. Mushrooms are one. And then there's greens, I've mentioned. But there's also flowers that are edible. There are berries and other fruits. There are roots, nuts, and shoots. And I can give you examples of each one depending on the season. Like right now that it's getting cold, it would tend to be almost exclusively time for roots, although there are some cold weather mushrooms, oyster mushrooms that people may know from the store grow wild. And they grow wild in cold weather, so we could find those right now here. I have on my porch right now a bag full of honey locust pods, and these resemble what in Florida might be tamarind. They're related to those pods, like carob, and they taste like a cross or like banana, and we have them up here. Those are the examples right now. We have sumac, which is well-known in the Middle East in Dhatar. It's a dry berry that is tart like lemon, and we grind that or infuse it into tea, and that's out now. Of course, to answer your question, like when you arrived as a beginner and I said, well, look for this, the problem is I like to say foragers can't be choosers. So I may not know what's out there when we spread out. It's a bit artificial to tell somebody, okay, go out and see what you can find. That you see that on TV with survival shows.
Sure.
People have no,
exactly.
You know, that's, it's not realistic, but it's easy to, that's why when we spread out, I say, well, you can pick any mushroom you see. Pick one or two and come back. But the rest of the time, I'm showing people things and introducing them. And at that point, we might spread out and say, okay, go look for this. And we'll make sure that that's what you got.
And you come back with a basket of goodies. And then do you cook at your place, or you mentioned there's a restaurant in Asheville that will make you an appetizer if you bring something? What do you do? Just show up with a basket and they'll create something out of whatever you bring? Then what do we do with that basket of goodies? Do you show us how to cook it? You don't necessarily have to show us how to eat it, but what do we do with these things after we pick them, find them?
Yeah, well, we do eat it. I cook some up. I have a little camp stove, and it's not just at my place. We have like 50 locations, and that's why I don't know what we're going to find, because I don't always scout beforehand. And where we go depends on where it has rained. Here in the mountains, it could rain here and not a mile away. So once we find that basket full, at the end, I do cook up some. And then the rest, we have four restaurants to choose from that people can bring a handful of things to. And they can walk in, and it's almost like one of these cooking challenge shows. I mean, the restaurant will be challenged to make something on the spot with whatever people walk in with. So that's fun. And there are photos of, basket fulls and sometimes the dishes on our Facebook page. People have put them on TripAdvisor if anyone wants to really see this, what I'm talking about.
And you've been on some interesting shows. You were on Bizarre Food with Andrew Zimmerman. How did that come about? And what is the bizarre? Bizarre just foraging for your own food outside in your own backyard? Or what was bizarre with Andrew Zimmerman?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was back in 08, but they're still running that episode, and apparently it was very popular. And, we started out in my yard, literally, and it was about a month ago this time of year, and the chestnuts on the ground were getting buggy, and the bugs are edible. So
he loves eating bugs. I do not.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's bizarre. For now, I mean, that's changing, but we ate some of those. And we went to the Biltmore here, where there's quite a few things planted and where I had a friend who had scouted. And so we went on a route where I knew we would cross some interesting foods. One is a type of dogwood berry that tastes like plum custard. It's really remarkable. And I can't tell you how many people have that in their yard and don't realize it's edible. And the fruit rots on the ground every year.
Oh, man. It sounds fun. It's got to be. Do you keep busy through those months of April through October pretty much? How do people find you?
Yeah, well, the business is called No Taste Like Home. And that's the name of the website, notastelikehome.org. And I think if you were to put my name in, it would come up, Alan Muscat. But like I said, on TripAdvisor, people often find us just by the fact that they're in Asheville and they want something interesting to do. Those are some ways, to find us. And again, it's not always April through October, but it's amazing here that you can find stuff, even in the snow, it's depending how rugged you want to be.
Well, Alan, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. And I look forward to it, to going on your website, notastelikehome.org. And maybe one of these days I'll get to Asheville, but I'll go out in my yard today and I'll say, what can I find for dinner?
Send me a photo and I'll
okay,
help you out.
I will. And I thank you for taking the time, and I appreciate and have a great rest of the weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That was Alan Muscat, and he has a website that you got to go to, notastelikehome.org, and it is fun. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and I'll give you some recipes, and we'll talk more food.